Well, turn in your Bibles, and this is where we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll just in a little bit go over to Luke chapter 24. But 1 Corinthians 15, as we think about the greatest event in the world, and that's the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We praise God that Jesus came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for sins, and rose again. We call this the gospel, the good news, the death and the resurrection of Christ. Well, this morning, we're celebrating Easter because we think of it as Resurrection Sunday. We remember the death and resurrection of our Savior and what He's done for us. We want to look briefly at that this morning. We're going to go through some very familiar passages as we think about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, you know, most of the time, most of us like mysteries, stories where there's a plot and it unfolds and then things that are sort of hidden come to light. Well, and finally we say, oh, now we know what's going on. Well, biblical mysteries are the same. And there's a Bible talks about mysteries, and a mystery is something that had been hidden in the past is now being made known. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, if you notice, Paul writes, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We'll not all sleep, but we'll all be changed." Now, he tells about a mystery because in the Old Testament, it didn't talk about the rapture of the church, how that Jesus Christ would come out of the clouds and the believers on the earth, those who were dead would already be raised, and those who were alive would be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Look at verse 52. He says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." In verse 55, he says, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" There is no victory for death. Death's not the end. Jesus Christ has conquered death. Notice verse 57. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory over sin and death, through our Lord Jesus Christ." The victory is in Jesus Christ who died and rose again. He died on the cross to pay for sin. He rose from the grave to conquer death. They go together. This morning, we're going to focus on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why this most important message, the gospel, is the death and resurrection of Christ. And we think about it because we have the payment for sin and the victory over death because what Jesus Christ has done. We want to celebrate that. Now think about this. The purpose of Easter is not to tell us how we should live better lives. Easter is the celebration of the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. We come together this morning to give thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me remind you that Jesus Christ clearly declared to his men, to his twelve, to those who were with him, that he would go to Jerusalem, that he'd be handed over to the Gentiles, that he'd be put to death and then rise again on the third day. The death and the resurrection. Think about this. Jesus was nailed to the cross. For his enemies, it was a victory. For the soldiers, it was just another day at work. For his followers, it was the death of their brightest hope and their dreams. Their Messiah and King was dead. That's not what they expected. But that's not where the story ends. And the truth is, if it ended there, we'd all go, "Whoa, that was sad. That was tough. That was sad." But that's not where it ends. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And you remember the greeting in the first century? They would say, "He is risen." And the people would go, "He is risen indeed." This morning, as we look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're going to look at three things, and we're going to go very quickly through these passages. But what we're going to see, first of all, is the fact of the resurrection. We'll go to Luke 24 to see that. Then we'll talk about the importance of the resurrection. Why does it matter whether Jesus rose from the grave or not? And then the last thing is our response to this great event. So let's start first with the fact of the resurrection. And as we think about the fact of the resurrection, we're going to look at three things. Many of you have seen these, and I want you to just go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 24. Turn to Luke 24. And as you're turning there, let me put up on the board here these three things we're going to see as we get to Luke 24. We're going to see the women at the tomb. We're going to see two believers walking. And we're going to see the disciples. All of this shows us the fact of the resurrection, that Jesus not only died for us and paid for our sins, but he rose from the grave. Let's start with the women at the tomb. Look at chapter 24. And as you start off, it goes this. It says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared." We might say, okay, this is the first day of the week. The first day of the week is Sunday, if you remember. First day of the week is Sunday. The Jewish people were to work 6 days and rest on the seventh. The seventh day is the Sabbath. That's Saturday. Sunday is the first day of the week. Jesus rose from the grave on the first day of the week. That's why we worship on the first day of the week. So on the first day of the week at early dawn, we'd say, well, who is the they? You go back to chapter 23, just a few verses back, and look at verses 55 and 56. It says, now the women who had come out of Galilee with him followed, and they saw the tomb, and they saw where his body had laid. They returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. So they're now resting. They saw where Jesus was buried, and now on the first day of the week, their plan is to come out and anoint the body. Notice, on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. We've talked about this so many times, so it's not any new that what they did is they buried people. They put them inside of caves, inside of hills. They had the bodies wrapped up, and they had this spice on them so that they wouldn't smell as the body decayed, and eventually the body would decay. They would come out at different times, continuing to anoint the body until there was nothing left but bones. They would take the bones of that person, put them in a box called ossuaries. Sometimes whole families were put in one box. Their plan, because their hearts are broken, their plan is they're going to go out on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Their plan is to go anoint the body. Jesus has died. He's been dead 3 days. The body's going to start smelling. They're going to go out, put more of the spices on there until there's nothing left but his bones. That's their plan. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, on the way, they had been talking about how in the world they're going to roll the stone back, because it's kind of big and heavy, and they thought, maybe we could get some help. Maybe somebody might be there. We don't know. But notice, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Best you can tell is a lot of times you'd go in through a hole, in through a cave, and in that cave was a room, and in that room were these like slabs, and that's where they put the body. And so they went in, but there's no body. And when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothes. Now, they didn't know what to think, and all of a sudden, there's two men there. Now, those two men are angels in these dazzling clothes. We'll see how this works together, but they've come with a message. See, the word angel, angelos in the Greek, actually means messenger, because angels were messengers from God. And so it says they were perplexed about this. Two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothes. And the women were terrified, and they bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? Now, angels are so powerful. If an angel appeared in this room, their angels may be in this room, but they're not appearing. But if they appeared, we would all be afraid, because they're very powerful beings. But look at the question that they ask. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why have you come to look for Jesus at a grave, in a tomb? Because, see, they would say, didn't Jesus tell you he's going to die and rise again? Notice, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is verse 6. He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee? He's not here. He is risen. See, the angels didn't say, oh, we don't know what happened to the body. Angels didn't say somebody came and got the body. The angel said, why are you even looking here for Jesus? Why would you go where dead people, where dead people are looking for the living one? He's not here. He's risen. He's alive. And they said, don't you remember what he said while he was still in Galilee, and he spoke to you, saying, look at verse 7, that the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again? Don't you remember that he told you he was going to go, and he's going to get arrested, he's going to be crucified, he's going to be put to death and rise again? That's the key. Crucified, that's his death. Rise again, that's his resurrection. And look what it says. They remembered his words. You can see him going, yeah, well, yeah. I mean, he said that. Yeah, we remember that. And it says they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to the rest. They came back and they found Peter and James and John and the rest of them. And they said, angels were there and told us that he's alive. And he wasn't, the body wasn't there or anything. You remember what happened. They didn't even believe him. And Peter and James ran to the tomb. It's not in. We're not going to look at that this morning, but that's what they did. They said, there's an empty tomb, there were two angels, and we remember the message. He's alive. It's an empty tomb. Well, let's look at something else. Let's look at two believers, two people. Look at verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, two people had been in Jerusalem, and now they're going to their hometown, apparently, which is called Emmaus, which is a little town, little bitty town about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were walking with each other, and as they were walking, they were talking with each other about all the things which had taken place. Now, what are they talking about? Well, we know that they're saying, you know, Jesus, we thought Jesus was the one. We thought he was the Savior. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the King. We thought he was everything, but they killed him. But you know what else they were talking about? They had heard the message that the women had come back from the tomb and said Jesus wasn't there and that angels said he was risen, that he was alive. They knew that message. They heard that. And they were talking with each other about all the things which had taken place. They were probably talking about that. They had heard the message of the women who had gone to the tomb. Watch what happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached them and began traveling with them. You'd think they'd go, Jesus! But it says, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Jesus did something in some way that they couldn't tell it was him. And so they just thought it was some guy joining them, which was not unusual. When people walked, they usually walked in groups because, you know, there were bandits and criminals and things. And if you were by yourself, sometimes people jumped on you and beat you up and stole your stuff. So they usually went in groups. And so for another man to join them, that's not unusual. And so they're all there and Jesus began walking with them. And their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And notice, and he said to them, what are the words which you're exchanging with one another as you're walking? And they stood still, looking sad. Jesus said, what are y'all talking about? That's how we'd say it in Mississippi. What y'all talking about, right? What are y'all talking about? And they stopped and they said, they stopped and they looked sad. It's a bad day. What do you mean it's a bad day? What's going on? What are y'all talking about? Why are you so sad? And one of them named Cleophas answered and said, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem? Are you unaware of the things which have happened in these days? He said, what are you just a stranger? Do you not even know about what's happened in these last days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus the Nazarene. He was a prophet, mighty in word and deed, and in the sight of God and all the people, and the chief priest and the rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death, and they killed him. We were hoping that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Notice how it says that? Besides, this is the third day since all this happened. Let's stop there for just a second. The first thing they tell him is, are you just a stranger around here? You don't even know what's going on? What's going on? And see, Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, mighty indeed, and we thought he was the Messiah. In fact, we thought he was the one who was going to redeem Israel, who was going to save us, who was going to purchase us and deliver us from our enemies and from sin and be the Messiah and the Savior. But they killed him. And it's been 3 days since this happened. And then they went on and said something else, though. But also some women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning, they did not find the body, and they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Now see, they're still looking sad. But they've heard from the women already that they went out to the tomb and the body wasn't there, and that the angel said he was alive. Maybe it's just too much to actually believe it. You say, well, I'd like to believe that. When the women went out there, they didn't find the body. I would like to believe that he's alive, but we saw him die. And it's been 3 days. Why didn't they believe? We find in the Gospels that Jesus tells them over and over and over and over again that he's going to go to Jerusalem, die, and rise again. That he's the Messiah and the Savior. Look what Jesus says to them in verse 25. And he said to them, oh, foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets said. He calls them foolish and slow. He says, you're slow to understand. You just don't get it. And look what he says in verse 26. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into glory? Wasn't that the plan? Wasn't the Messiah supposed to suffer and then rise? The Messiah was not going to come to rule as the king. He's going to come to die. If you look at the Old Testament, the Messiah was going to be the suffering servant, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is saying, didn't y'all remember? Wasn't it necessary that the Christ to suffer and then enter into glory? The Messiah would suffer and die and then rise and reign? See, they had it backwards. They thought he's going to be the king first and then maybe die. No, he says, I'm going to die first and then I'm going to be the king. He said, but that's what I said all the way through the scripture. I'm going to die and rise again. I'm going to come the first time to die. I'm going to come the second time to reign. He said, don't y'all get it? And then he does something amazing. He teaches them the Bible. Look at verse 27. Then beginning with Moses, with all the prophets, he explained to them all the things concerning himself in the scripture. He went through the scripture. Would you have loved to hear Jesus talk about himself from the scripture? Can you see him going back to Exodus and see the Passover lamb? That's the Messiah. See Psalm 22 when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the Messiah. When you read Isaiah 53 when he says he was bruised and wounded and crushed for our iniquities, that's the Messiah. In Psalm 16:10 where it says he would be raised from the dead, that's the Messiah. In Psalm 2, when it says he will rule with a rod of righteousness and justice, that's the Messiah. Jesus took them all the way through the Bible, showing the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of the Messiah. He basically said, I just have to show you what you've forgotten. Verse 30, they reclined at the table because they stopped to eat, and Jesus was going on, but they said, no, please eat with us. And when he had reclined at the table with them, verse 30, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Can you imagine stopping there eating with Jesus, and Jesus breaks the bread, and he gives it to you? Most likely, they saw the scars, and they went, and he disappeared. And they went, where did he go? Where did he go? They said, that was him. That was him. And they even said, didn't our hearts burn when he taught the scripture? That's him. You know what they did? They rushed back. In verse 35, they went back into Jerusalem, traveling at night, which then nobody did. They traveled at night, ran all the way back to Jerusalem, and they saw the people, and they said, they began to relate the experience on the road, how he was recognized by them by breaking the bread. Now guess what else has happened? He's already appeared to Peter as well. They're all gathered in a room and they're going, well, the women saw these angels. Peter said, I saw him. These other guys say, we saw it. We were going to eat with him. And then he disappeared. And that takes us to the third thing. The disciples. Look at verse 36. While they were telling these things, he stood in their midst. Wow, he just appeared. And they were all frightened, of course, and they're all scared. In verse 39, he said, see my hands and my feet, see it's myself, touch me. See, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. He said, look, I'm real. I'm real. And then in verse 44, then he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. All the things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And guess what he does? He teaches them the Bible again. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. He taught them again that the Messiah was to die and rise again. He's right there with them. We've seen the resurrection. We've seen the fact of the resurrection. There he was, the empty tomb, the two men on the road, the women, the disciples together, all of this. Now that raises a second question, and we'll go quickly, but the second question is the importance of the resurrection. What does it matter? Why is it so important? Well, two things. Number one, or A, it proved that death is conquered. I want to read this to you. I don't want you to just stay right there in Luke. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 15, the passage we were in earlier. But because Jesus Christ died and then rose again, he conquered death. All will rise from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, but Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. By a man came death, by a man came resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, in Christ all will be raised. In Jesus Christ is victory over sin and death. Do you realize death's not the end? Every human being is going to be raised from the dead. Verse 55, it says this, O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? There's not one. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every human being is going to exist forever because death is conquered. Every human being is going to be raised from the dead. Some will be raised from the dead to have eternal life. Some will be raised from the dead to have what's called the second death. Let me explain it to you. Some will live forever with Jesus Christ. It's called eternal life. Comes simply by faith. Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior, who trusts in Him and Him alone, receives the gift of eternal life, and you will live forever with Christ. But some will die forever, separated from Jesus Christ. The Bible calls it the second death. That's those who reject Jesus Christ as Savior. People who do not believe in Jesus Christ and trust in Him as Savior, the Bible says they will experience the second death. They won't live forever. They will die forever, separated from Christ. Why is it so important about the resurrection? First of all, death's conquered, and every human being is either going to live forever or die forever in the body that is raised. That's a powerful truth. There is a second reason the resurrection is so important. It proved that our sins are paid for. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 says, if Christ didn't raise from the dead, we are still in our sins. The resurrection of Christ showed He paid the penalty, and it's complete. 1 John 2:2 says He's the satisfactory payment not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Why is it so important that Jesus Christ rose again? Couldn't He just die on the cross and pay for our sins? We could say, well, He said, nope, because if He doesn't rise from the grave, there's no victory over death. If He doesn't rise from the grave, the payment wasn't made. It was the proof that the payment was made. Now, what's our response to all of this? What's our response to this great event? Luke chapter 24, where you are, listen to this. Jesus is talking with His men, and He's just told them this. He's just taught them the scripture, if you remember. He opened their minds to understand the scripture, and look what He says. Thus it is written, this is what the scripture says, that the Christ, the Messiah, would suffer, that's His death, and rise again from the dead the third day, that's His resurrection. That's the message, the death and the resurrection of Christ. Now, what did He tell them to do? Because there's a message for them, and it says, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. The word repentance means a change of mind. The message is we go to people and tell them to change their mind about what they're trusting. They may be trusting themselves. They may be trusting in good works. They need to change their mind and trust Jesus Christ as Savior. So a change of mind would be announced for the forgiveness of sins. It would be proclaimed in His name. So they're to go as witnesses. I think the next line. They were to go and proclaim that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and all who would believe would have the forgiveness of sins. They would have eternal life with Jesus Christ. The greatest message of all is that Jesus died and rose again, and whoever believes in Him has eternal life. You understand that their job was to take that message. We have the same responsibility. Let me give you some things to think about. Number one, realize the victory we have in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, 58, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory over the grave. Now, what do we do then? What do we do? A, trust Jesus Christ as Savior. There may be some of you this morning who have never trusted in Christ. Maybe you thought that to go to heaven or to be with God or have some kind of relationship with God was based on your goodness, your works, your righteousness, something that you did, try to live a good life, give money, get baptized, something like that. None of that can save you. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ came and took our place as the satisfactory payment. He died for us, paid for our sins, was buried, rose again, conquering death, and gives us eternal life as a gift by faith. You can be saved and have eternal life right where you're sitting right now simply by trusting Christ as your Savior. The most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. God so loved the world, that's us, that he gave his only begotten son, that's Jesus, gave him to do what? Die and rise again. That whosoever, that's any person, would believe in him. It's not works or righteousness. It's simply faith alone in Christ alone. Whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, right where you're sitting right now, you can trust in him and him alone to give you eternal life. Second thing that we should do is let's take the message into the world. All of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we know the gospel, we know the good news. We're to go into this community and we're to take that message. It's a great day to talk about it because the whole world is celebrating, or a lot of people are celebrating and thinking of, okay, what is Easter? To some people, Easter is bunny rabbits and eggs. But to us, it's the resurrection of our Savior, conquering death, paying for our sins, giving us eternal life as a gift by faith. That's what it's all about. May we realize the victory we have in Jesus Christ as we trust our Savior Christ and as we proclaim this message to our world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you, Lord, for your word, how perfect it is. Thank you for the good news that Jesus died and rose again, that he died on the cross to pay for sin, that he rose again conquering death, that he gives eternal life as a gift to all who believe. Lord, if there's anyone in this room who's never trusted Christ, may they trust Christ today, right now. For all of us, Lord, who know Jesus Christ as Savior, may we be ready to go into this world, this community, with the greatest message of all, the death and resurrection of Christ, and the good news message that whoever believes in him has eternal life. Thank you for the death and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.